make decisions, I don't know, decisions about important things like your work, your marriage, moving, or maybe friendships, or the next decision of what you're going to eat. Are you more reactive or proactive in your life? Are you reacting to your environment, reacting to the stimulus right in front of you, or are you sitting down and praying about it and being proactive in terms of thinking through the decisions? We're talking about decision making again today. Dr. Randy from the Intentional Living Center, along with Jennifer and Stephen, welcome to the show. We talked about this last, we had this topic last week, and some of you may have heard the show. If you didn't, you can go back and hear the show on our archives. I ended in talking to one of our listeners who was trying to make a really big decision about her marriage. Should she stay married or not could stay married? And she's tired. She's tired of the decisions her husbands are making about the marriage and faithfulness in the marriage and so on. And, you know, some of these decisions are really difficult. God speaks to these decisions, and sin speaks into these decisions because of the way we live and the way the world is, and it speaks into our lives. And boy, it gets to be really tough. And that's why we created this top 10 list of what we call how to make important decisions. Really 10 questions you need to ask yourself before making an important decision that you can help discern God's will. And so that's up on our website, by the way, for today's broadcast. It'll be there. And by the way, the program from last week, I think that was on the 2nd, October 2nd. And that's available to you as well. You can find it when you go to theintentionallife.com. Decision-making, as we're talking about today, let's go to Georgia first. Nisi is there. So, Nisi, what kind of decision did you make in your life?
I made a very bad decision, and I rushed into a relationship that turned into a marriage while I was still recovering from a bad marriage. And I learned that I have to give time. I have to take time to pray and listen, but mostly to wait and be patient. Mm-hmm. My marriage wrecked my credit, and I was left brokenhearted and financially bereft. And I learned a lot to rely more on God and myself instead of looking for other people to make me happy. And that's what I would like for people to know, especially young people, to know that they have to find their way with God.
Yeah, it's not in another person. So you really were responding to making that decision out of neediness.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I felt like I had to have somebody else to make me whole. And I relied on somebody who wasn't responsible. And I was fairly responsible, but I allowed myself to be caught up in the moment and make risky decisions. And that left me alone eventually because rushing into it, I didn't know him well enough to devote my life to him. Mm. And then when that ended, it was very lonely. So I turned back. I turned back to God, and I sought solace, and he met every need that I have. He saved both of my children. My son became a youth minister and then a youth pastor. My daughter and I both teach Sunday school now. They're both grown now and have children of their own, and they're very involved in their church. So I'm thankful that God brought me the patience that I needed to make better decisions. Mm. And saved my family.
Amen. Thank you, Nisi. You know, I think, Nisi, you remind me that decisions tend to be sort of, they add on one to another. And maybe you are listening today and you say, boy, I've made so many crummy decisions. And here I am today and financially struggling or physically struggling or my marriage is a mess because of things I've done or decisions I've made or didn't make. I don't think there's any hope. I'm kind of stuck. Here I am, 45 or whatever age you are, and thinking, now what? And what we know is that all of us, no matter who we are in life, we have hurts. And sometimes it's the result of decisions we've made. Often it is. But we're sitting here sometimes in a pool of hurts. And we remind people that hurt needs to move to hope, because without hope, you're going to just continue to sit there. And the stories you're hearing today remind us that if you're sitting in a pile of hurt in your life, there is hope. God gives us hope. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is the hope. The Bible calls Him the hope. Your hope is in Him. And then we want to move to healing. That's what intentional living is about. There is hope. You can move forward today. You can make a decision today and then reach out and do the next right one thing. The Bible says to us to figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. Intentional living really is about doing that next thing. It's about living today so tomorrow can be a little bit better. A decision you make today can make tomorrow a little bit better in your life and your relationships. And that's why we do this. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more intentional living.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
There's a third response, and I think it's the healthiest response to pain. It's certainly the intentional living response to pain, and it's to learn from the pain and to intentionally address it. An intentional response to pain is mature, it's realistic, it's biblical, it's hopeful. Let me share just a couple of the steps in the process. First, we have to learn from it. What can pain teach us? What can the pain of loss teach you? What can the pain of death teach us? What can the pain of an unwanted divorce teach us? I believe that pain is sort of God's way of waking us up to Him and to our need for Him. Pain is at the crossroads of self-confidence and God-confidence. What's the purpose of pain? We know the problem of pain, but the featured lesson this month up on the Intentional Living site for our member site is on this topic of, you know, what do we do with pain? How do we deal with it? What is the purpose? Is there purpose for pain? The world would probably say it's no. It just is what it is. But I believe, and I think the scripture teaches us, that there is a purpose that we can learn from pain in our life. Sometimes it's self-inflicted pain. Sometimes it's inflicted by other people. But certainly God allows these things to come into our life, and we either learn from them or we don't. And that's the question. So that's up there for you today. If you're a member, I hope you'll find it, listen to it, share it with someone who needs some encouragement. If you're not a part of the monthly team of Intentional Living, come and join us today. We need you. All you have to do is call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com.
My fiance and I, my soon-to-be wife, we had a disease about 8 years ago, and it was drugs and alcohol. It was love at first sight. From the minute I saw her, I told her she's the first person I ever saw from the inside out ever in my life, and we're so in love, and we've been clean and sober now over a year, and just tremendous followers of Jesus. And what I want to know is what I can do to make sure that she doesn't look back and go, I wonder if that was defined by alcohol or drugs. I want to stay on the course that we're on and not be pulled backwards by the life that we were leading. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does. In fact, the fact that you're asking that question, it tells me you're a long ways down the path, because many people would be caught up in the emotionality of the relationship and not stop and ask that question. Well, what was the connection point? Because many times we can develop a friend. Listen, you have friends sometimes that you connect around a certain hobby or interest or whatever. But once that interest is gone or that hobby's gone, there's really nothing more there. And that's one of the problems we have to watch for when it comes to when we connect with a person. Is it based on the holistic part of the relationship, or is it just one area? And when that area is no longer being met or needed or what have you, it can create a problem. Let's be just really candid. I mean, if you're attracted to a person, the basis of your relationship with a person is how beautiful they are. They're going to get old someday. And they may still be very beautiful, but not maybe as beautiful as you think they were right now. And so if that's the only basis of your attraction, you're going to be in big trouble. Quick personal disclaimer. My wife is still beautiful. And she really is. All right. Did I get out of that okay? Thank you, Jennifer. When Jennifer gives me a thumbs up, I know I'm okay. All right. We're talking about decisions today. Sherry, making decisions. Sounds like you have a question for me. Go right ahead.
Hi. I was wondering if me and my husband should allow my daughter-in-law to move back into our home. She was a drug addict and has now been clean and sober for 1 year, but she's looking for transitional housing and hasn't been able to find it so far. So they're removing her from the program, but she doesn't have a place to stay yet. So should we allow her back in our home after all the chaos we've gone through?
Yeah, well, you're asking the right question. And of course, I can't answer that. You're the only one who can, but you certainly should ask yourself some questions. Like, is the chaos that was created before been resolved? Or are we going to still bring that chaos back into our home? I think probably the most important question would be, what is the impact of her coming back into my home for our marriage and our family and our relationship? And for her, is this a healthy thing for her? Or is there some other alternative that we could help fund or find for her to go to that would be healthier for her long term? But if you do make a decision to say, yes, we're going to allow her back into our home, one of the most important things you can do right up front is have a clear understanding of what the exit strategy is. What I mean by that is she understands and you understand what's acceptable and not acceptable in your home, what's going to be tolerated and not tolerated, and when there a switch might have to go off to say, we're done, it's not working. If you don't establish those ground rules up front, then it can create a problem. All right. By the way, you're welcome to share your question or comment on our storyline at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. All right. Looks like we've got another question.
Hi, my name is Sally, and I'm calling because I'm trying to make a decision of moving to Houston, Texas to be with my youngest daughter. I've been praying about it and asking God. I do have a very wonderful job here, and I'm a single parent, but I'm wondering if I make this move, if it's the right decision for me. I'm not making it for financial reasons. I'm making it because I want to be close to my daughter and get to know my granddaughter and give her the time that I've given my other daughters. So that is my dilemma that I'm going through in life right now.
All right. Well, Sally, listen, again, I think maybe one thing I can do is ask more questions and tell you what to do because I don't know. But if I were trying to make a decision like that, here's a couple of questions I'd ask. Is it possible? And to what extent is it possible that I'm going to move to Houston and then they're going to move somewhere else? Because that's one of the things that we get into trouble, I think, as parents or grandparents, if you chase your kids around the country, because you don't know where they're going to land, right? Secondly, is it in the best interest of them, her marriage, her family, and so on? And what's going on there? Is that going to be a positive thing for her and for the grandchild and for you in terms of that relationship? Third, how does it affect your other daughters? It sounds like you'd be moving away from something you like and are comfortable with into something new. And so what are the unintended consequences of the decision you're making? Sounds like you'd lose your job. You'd have to change. It doesn't sound like that's a big issue, yet maybe it is. You need to think that through. What about the finances? And is it more expensive to be there than to be here? And then I think a last question would be this. Would it be more wise for me, instead of moving to Houston, to spend a little money and say, I'm going to fly there every quarter for a week and visit, stay with them or stay in a nearby hotel, get a feel for the community and the family and how things are going. And after I'm there for a week, as I'm flying back home, ask myself, would I be comfortable being there permanently? I think we got to do testing sometimes before we make the big decision. And that's true. By the way, some of you are making those kinds of decisions. Where should we move, or what kind of a job, or should we downsize our house or whatever? To think about testing that a little bit, a little reality testing in your head. What would that be like if I really did that? Because what happens is with decision making, when we're driven by our emotions, we can make decisions that feel good at the time, but later we said, boy, we should have asked, we should have checked, we should have questioned, we should have counseled with somebody. And so before I would do that, you know what I'd do? I'd do some testing.
Something that everyone will experience in life is pain. In Dr. Randy's message, The Purpose of Pain, you'll learn even though pain is a problem, when you understand its purpose in your life, you can actually gain freedom.
Pain is a troubling problem for humanity, and yet, without pain, we'd have no grasp of the contrast with health, or peace, or success, or meaning. For it's in the pain that we're able to see how dependent we are on God and what His blessings are all about in our life.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group with unlimited access to this message, along with more of Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now and receive these life-changing resources. Call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, by the way, those of you who recently joined us, you know, in the last month here when we had our special fundraising campaign, thank you for all the new members. Thank you for your prayers and your support. I hope you're enjoying the lessons that we're putting up on the website from the last couple of years, new ones that we'll be putting up here shortly. But mostly just saying, hey, we're on this journey together. Your monthly support helps us. We're listener supported. No commercials. Don't borrow money. We just do what God's given us to do, and you help make it possible. Thank you for doing that. And you can join us in your monthly support by going to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or calling during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. All right? And press number 2 to talk to our staff. We're making decisions today, talking about making decisions. Candy, sounds like there's some stress going on here. What's the decision you're facing?
If I should start a new job or not. I'm going to try not to cry. Well, my problem is that I've been having a lot of bad luck. First, my house flooded. And then after that, a week later, my son attempted suicide.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And then after that, my mom fell and broke her hip. And because of this, I lost a lot of time at my other job, so they fired me. So the job that I had before, they want me back. But I'm not sure if I'm mentally ready, because my mom is in a rehab right now, and she'll be there between 1 to 2 weeks.
Hey, let me ask you a question. First of all, I'm so sorry, Candy, for everything going on. Do you have a good support structure around you? Do you have people that can help you think this through, talk it through, pray with you about it?
I can talk to my pastor, but my daughter lives in Ohio. My brother lives in Tennessee. Okay. And my son, he can't do anything right now because he's going through his own. He's getting help, thank God.
Yeah. So you're kind of, you're processing this thing kind of on your own, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
the people who want to fire me back understand.
They do understand?
Yes.
Have you talked to them about what you're going through right now and seeing if there's a little space that you can get for a few weeks to really maybe get some counseling and try to get your feet centered again underneath you?
Yes, they said that they left it up to me. They said they could let me have 3 weeks if I needed it.
Let me ask you this. Do you need to work?
No, not right now. I don't. But mentally, I do.
Okay.
But financially, no.
Okay. Well, that's good news. In other words, you're not at a stress point where I've got to go to work this week. I'm going under. So you have a little breathing here that helps. If you had to make the decision today, Candy, right now, you had no choice. You had to make it, and you're not actually making it, but you know you had to make it to me right now. What would you do?
I couldn't go back. Not the way I feel right now. I don't think I could mentally give them my whole 100% and work right. I don't think my mind could do it.
Mm. You know, Candy, all of us hear that in your voice. Let me share something that Jesus said to those that were weary and burdened in his time. And it carries through to us today as well. He said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Everybody's listening to you, Candy, says you need a break. You just need to get your heart centered and your feet centered and to deal with the realities of the pain and problems you've been through. He goes on to say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Here's a psalm that you might want to write down for anybody who's feeling weary and burdened today. And you're thinking, I got to make a decision in the midst of this. And by the way, the worst time to make a decision is in a time of crisis. We make dumb decisions. We make wrong decisions because I think part of our brain shuts off and our hearts are just overfilled with problems. And the psalmist, here's a prayer that you might want to just put up on a note and remind yourself from Psalm 119. "My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law." Be gracious to me. You know, when we're talking about decision-making today, the best time to make a decision is when you're rested, you've prayed, you're clear, you got good input, you got 70 or 80% of the information, and you make the decision. If you're right in the midst of a crisis, and that's the problem, you try and make a decision. Should I divorce? And you're in a crisis. There's been an affair. Boom. You're going to make a decision. You got to get really centered, get very clear on what's going on in your marriage, in your life, in your family. Understand what's going on. You just had a health crisis. Should I quit my job? Well, maybe the health crisis will pass. In other words, when we're in the midst of a crisis, that's not the best time to make a decision. All right. I think we have time here for Bethany in Michigan on decisions. Sounds like you've already made one. What is it, Bethany?
Well, I can say that I've decluttered a lot in my life from just giving up the things of this world. Just like the Bible says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so I decided to give up secular television, secular music. We only listen to Family Life Radio. And it sounds like it's a really hard thing to do at first, but then when you're continually in your word, when you're continually conversing with Christ, and when you're just filling your mind with the Bible and with things that lead you and draw you closer to God, it just transforms you completely, and it's the best decision I've ever made.
Well, Bethany, I know the staff who are listening, the radio staff, appreciate hearing that. And I agree with you, by the way. That's why we do this, not only this program, Intentional Living, but our whole Family Life Radio Network 24 hours a day, because I agree with you. I mean, today, if we're not filling our minds with things from above, we're not filling our minds with encouragement and hope and truth, whatever goes in is what's going to come out. And so I'm glad that the network's there for you, and that's a good reminder. So the point is, hey, listen, make sure if you're going to build your faith, you're putting stuff into your head and into your heart that's going to help build your faith and not tear it down. That's a good reminder.
Absolutely. I used to watch everything secular a couple years ago, and my anxiety and depression was at an all-time high. And when I gave that up, I just noticed a huge difference in my in my mental state. So it just, it really does make a huge difference. And Christ truly transforms you from within when you fill your mind with Him.
Oh boy, that is so true. Listen, you guys and ladies could make a decision today. I can make a decision today. It'll change my life tomorrow if I act on it. But the question is, are you going to make a decision? That's the first step of intentional living. You got to make a decision. And you want to continue? Are you experiencing life the way God intended? And if not, what decision do you want to make? We're here to help you think that through, pray about it, and then to help equip you to make that a reality in your life for God's glory and your benefit. So what do you do when you have made a bad decision? Sounds like, Jerry, you've done that, made a bad one in your life, but there's more to that story, it sounds like.
Well, 30 years ago, the bad decision that I made was, as many 17-year-olds do, I took my first drink of beer and started smoking some marijuana, too. And 18, 20 years later, find myself being a full-blown alcoholic and a drug addict. And how I rectified that, thanks to the Lord's help, I set foot into Celebrate Recovery, which is a Christ-centered 12-step program. And now I am approaching an 8-year for full-blown sobriety. Thanks be to the Lord's help.
Good for
and,
you.
Of course, I had to do my part about being intentional about working that program.
So you think it started with that first beer, huh?
I think it started with the first beer.
Yeah. So what do you think when you see young people drinking today?
I pray for them. I think that they may turn out like I did, and you know, they may not. They may not develop a drinking problem, but the question is, you know, would you want to roll the dice and take that gamble?
Yeah, it's a great question. All right. You know, we're talking about decision making, and you know what? Every decision that we make will have some sort of a consequence, sometimes an unintended consequence. But here's also something we haven't talked about. Not making a decision is also making a decision. Maybe there's something going on in your life and you just kind of say, I hear no evil, I see no evil, I'll speak no evil, right? And yet the reality of whatever is going on in your life is still evolving. And so maybe it's time to think about indecision and the consequences of that. I'm Dr. Randy. This has been an interesting show today. The first part was last week. You can check it out. Again, up on our website, the top 10 list for making good decisions, better decisions, important decisions that will be discerning decisions that can honor Christ. Just go to theintentionallife.com and click on today's broadcast. I'm Dr. Randy for the team. Thank you for joining us. This is Intentional Living, and it is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.